Haggai chapter 2, verses 1 to 9. On the 21st day of the seventh month, the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Speak to Zerubbabel, son of Shealtiel, governor of Judah, to Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest, and to the remnant of the people. Ask them, who of you is left who saw this house in its former glory? How does it look to you now? Does it not seem to you like nothing? But now be strong, Zerubbabel, declares the Lord. Be strong, Joshua, son of Jozadak, the high priest. Be strong, all you people of the land, declares the Lord, and work, for I am with you, declares the Lord Almighty. This is what I covenanted with you when you came out of Egypt, and my spirit remains among you. Do not fear.
This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come, and I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. The silver is mine, and the gold is mine, declares the Lord Almighty. The glory of this present house will be greater than the glory of the former house, says the Lord Almighty. And this place I will grant peace, declares the Lord Almighty. May God bless his word to us.
So you can put smiles on your faces, because this morning's message is about hope and encouragement. And this is how the Lord not only wanted to encourage people, I think, in Haggai's day, but also how he wants to bring hope and encouragement to us this morning. See, God's people have come back in Haggai's time. They've come back to the promised land. They've been exiled for 70 years to Babylon, because they had turned their backs on God. And God kept saying, if you keep turning your back on me, if you don't follow my will and ways, you know, I can't be your Lord Almighty, because you're not making me your Lord Almighty. Therefore, what will happen is you will be exiled. And so they were exiled because they were disobedient to God's will and ways. They had forgotten about him. And at this point in history, they've been back 18 years in the promised land. But they had been really tardy in building or rebuilding the temple. And remember that at those days, not like today, where we can have God's presence now and all around us and in us, in those days, God's presence only resided in the temple. And they were really, I can understand this. You've been in exile 70 years, you come back and you're quite discouraged. And so they're slowly trying to rebuild God's temple. But some of them will have remembered what the previous temple looked like. And, you know, if you ever studied your temple history, you realize that Solomon and David had collected the most amazing resources from the whole area. There was gold and silver and bronze and precious stones. There was a smell of cedar wood anywhere that they'd actually imported from other countries. They had the most amazing masonry workers. It was a phenomenal building. And as they're rebuilding with bits of rubble, knowing that everything has been looted and they have no more gold and silver and bronze, they're discouraged and disheartened, because they're thinking, we can't do this. You know, what's the point? It's not going to be as good as it was before. And then this is how God speaks into the situation. So they'd been back and they started rebuilding. They'd be tardy. Now they're building. They've been building 7 weeks, and they were really discouraged at this point. God knew what they were thinking, and he acknowledged their discouragement. But I find it really encouraging whenever we are discouraged. This is what the Lord wants to say to us this morning. This is how he speaks to people who are trying to rebuild, people who are struggling. First of all, he says, be strong. I mean, I'm sure you've seen things where you're stronger than you think, you know, but it's not our strength. The point is, if you think how many times, and I noticed it again where Dave and Hazel were reading, he says, I'm Lord Almighty. No, I'm Lord Almighty. No, but you read it, and I was sort of thinking, gosh, remember, if it's repeated over again, this is what the people needed to hear, wasn't it? Hey, by the way, I'm not just Lord, I'm Lord Almighty. You can be strong because it's me who's going to help you be strong. You can be strong because I am strong, and I will help you in your weakness. And it was exactly the same message that Paul said to the Corinthian church. They were discouraged. I mean, I don't envy being part of that early church. The persecution, the difficulties that they faced, the cultural limitations that they faced. It was a really, really hard time. And this is what Paul reminded the people of in Corinth. He said, God said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. You know, admit you're weak, and then you can say, I can't do it on my own, and then you can ask the Lord to help. Therefore, I, Paul, will boast all the more gladly about my weaknesses so that Christ's power may rest on me. That is why, for Christ's sake, I delight in weakness, in insults, in hardships, in persecutions, in difficulties. For when I am weak, then in Christ I am strong. Mum's old vicar from St. Luke's Prestonville started with this verse for the scattering of ashes service last Saturday. I was thinking, where's he going to go with this? In terms of, but it was so true. He knows Mum's history. He knows that my mum at the age of 39 was weak. She was a widow with three young children. A single mum in those days was very, very difficult to be that. And I'd forgotten until my older sister stood up and spoke. My mum was painfully shy. So my dad was a lay reader in the church. He used to get the kids up the front. We used to do the Christmas, you know, productions. You know, me and my sister with the long golden hair was Gabriel. You know, I was just one of the angels with a fat belly at the back, you know. But it was, you know, but we were always up front. When my dad wanted to introduce guitar singing, he got the kids up and we would sing. You know, it was, but my mum was never up front. She was painfully shy. And when my dad died, my mum was really, really struggling. But I remember the night she came to me and just said, I've been filled with the Holy Spirit differently this time. Something's happened in me. She actually woke me up. And from then onwards, I could see this shyness, this weakness begin to dissipate. The fear began to dissipate. And as Martin Paul, the Reverend, reminded us on Saturday, she was one of the most powerful intercessors St. Luke's has ever known. Up front every Sunday, praying before the service, walking around the church and praying. And as Martin said as well, she kept me in line. Do you know what I mean? This was my shy mother who was very happy for everyone else to be at the front, but she was at the back. Why? Because in her weakness. And this was a testimony of Mum. There was times when our family wasn't coping. I don't know. Maybe you've never had times like this, but my family seems to have times when the crunch comes and we're just not coping. And we'd be in tears and we'd just be, I remember one time sitting on Mum's bed and she's just saying, I can't cope. I just can't do this anymore. She said, I've admitted my weakness, and so did we as children. And then she said, but I know somebody who can help us. And we always got through. Because we admitted our discouragement, our weakness, and relied on God's strength. We can be strong. That is a testimony of my mum's life. And I know it's a testimony of so many of your lives. In him, we can be strong. PBBC, in God's strength, we can be strong. Secondly, his words of encouragement, of hope, was that I am with you. I don't know about you, but it's one of the phrases sometimes goes through my head, I feel so alone. Am I the only one? You know, but it's a lie, isn't it? I am never alone. He is always with me. What a wonderful promise. But I love it because it was Haggai that the people needed to know, hey, I'm with you, even though you haven't rebuilt the temple. I'm still here. I'm still enabling you to be strong. But it's a promise not only then, but it's a promise now, and it's a promise for the future as well. And it's not just a promise, it's a covenant promise. It's a promise that says, I will never leave you or forsake you. And what the Lord was reminding the people of Israel at this moment in time was that, remember what I said to Moses. Remember what I said to Joshua. I have made a covenant with you guys, and this is what I am promising. Deuteronomy 31:8 says, the Lord himself goes before you, and he will be with you. He will never leave you or forsake you. Don't be afraid. Do not be discouraged. And I'm thinking, as we take our little Advent flyers out, you know, to the people in there, the Lord's gone before you. Yeah. We don't have to be afraid. You can knock on the door and say, hey, would you like to come to our carol service? That's going to be a message of joy. That's a pretty good message, I think. Joshua 1:5 says, no one will be able to stand against you all the days of your life, because as I was with Moses, so I will be with you. I will never leave you or forsake you. And it seems a little bit of a strange thing, because then Jesus said, remember, after he'd come, and what we celebrate this first Advent, Jesus coming to the world, that hope that he brought. But he said to his disciples, remember, he said, I'm going to go away. And the disciples were like, hang on a sec, you've only been with us a short time. You're going away. And this is the words that Jesus said to them. I will not leave you as orphans. I will come to you. And finally, as Jesus was about to ascend up to heaven, remember that great commission he gave us? He says, because of what I've done, because I've come and because I've died and because I've risen again, I've dealt with death and sin. And because of that, I now have all authority on earth and in heaven. And therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, to the very end of the age, to the end of time. That's the promise that we have. We're not alone. When we're discouraged and feel like that, it says, I'm with you. Be strong. I am with you. And number three, remember who I am. Remember who I am. This is what it says, what was just read out. This is what the Lord Almighty says. In a little while, I will once more shake the heavens and the earth, the sea and the dry land. I will shake all nations, and what is desired by all nations will come. And I will fill this house with glory, says the Lord Almighty. He's so almighty, he can shake the heavens and the earth. You know, when we're looking around thinking, oh my goodness, watching the news, thinking of these leaders and how powerful they appear, they can't shake the nations. They can't shake heaven. They can't shake earth. This is who is with us, the Almighty God. There is no nation or power superior to our Lord's. That gives me hope. That gives me courage. That makes me want to pray, Lord, come. And that's what he's reminding the people of. He says, you can be confident in me. Put your hope in me, because I will enable this work to be done. I will help you rebuild and restore. And when you do, I promise to fill this place again with my glory, his weighty presence. I'm pretty sure everybody in this room has encountered his weighty presence, that presence of God, when you're like, oh my goodness, God is here. And it's an interesting phrase, I think, in there. And I was, you know, you know how you ponder something, you think, I don't understand that initially. And it says that he is the desire of all nations. And I was like, Lord, I don't think you are the desire of all nations. You know, like, no nation I'm seeing at this moment in time is saying, we desire the Lord. But actually, then he spoke to me and he says, I am the desire of all nations. Think about it. What do we complain about? Our rulers. Yeah. Their lack of wisdom. Their lack of care for people. Their lack of ability to be all powerful and turn our economy around. Their lack of ability to be so loving and caring and wise that they can resolve the problems of our NHS. That they are so wealthy that they're not having to keep the tax thresholds as they are at present, making loads more people pay tax. Every country wants a benevolent, loving, powerful, wonderful, awe-inspiring leader. They just don't know it's Jesus. What do you and I desire? What does every nation desire? A ruler like our Lord. And because he is our Lord, he says, don't worry, I will provide. He says, the next verse, he says, I'll give you the gold and silver. In other words, I'll give you everything you need to rebuild. And this is a model of the second temple. They rebuilt it. Within the next few years, they managed to rebuild and continue worshiping God in that second temple. God always promises to provide for what work he has for us to do. And I think of it is a miracle. Every year I've been here, those of you on the leadership know, every year we're looking at a deficit in our budget. Every year we're like, okay, you've probably got about 1 year left, you know. But then the Lord just says, here, from outside sources, he's provided miraculously every year. Because he says, you've still got work to do in Pulborough. And he's provided yet again for the coming year because we, the church, have work to do to rebuild God's kingdom on earth as it is in heaven. And finally, he says, hey, the best is yet to come. I mean, some of you, I think you know that verse off by heart, don't you? The glory of the latter house shall be greater than the former. It's a phenomenal promise, isn't it? And this was the promise. How many of you have been to Ashburnham Place? Yeah, so just a few of you. So it's a stately home that got burnt down. And the promise in the 1960s to the Bickersteth family was that if you give this home over, in a sense, to a Christian trust, because it was a Christian, you know, the latter days will be greater than the former. Now, if you've actually been, have you been in the Great Hall? You know, the hall, the big hall, have you been in there? Yeah, so it's called the Great Hall. It can hold about 200 people, maybe the size of that. That was the entrance. That, if we call, we now call it the Great Hall, do you know what I mean? That was just the lobby. And so I struggled with this because this verse is all around Ashburnham. And I'm thinking, hang on a sec. We call it the Great Hall. That was a lobby. And if you look at the original photos, that lobby was so big. And then you had these grand stairs going up into the, all of that building's gone. Literally just the front of the house you've got now. Yeah. So I was like, Lord, what do you mean about this? But then I think of the glory of God that has come to that place. I think of the people who have been commissioned there, like Jackie Pullinger. I think of the speakers and the number of people who are saved. I think of the influence worldwide that that place has. It's not quite the glory of the building. It's the glory of God. It's the glory and impact of his kingdom coming, his will being done. That is for the latter years. And I think that's what he was trying to explain to Haggai at this time. Because the second temple was not as glorious, but the glory of God was there. But as you know, those of you who've been here when I was speaking about prophecy, you understand it's like mountains. So what actually happens is there's a word given here, but what you don't realize, and having climbed the Himalayas a number of times, you get to the top of this one and you think, oh my goodness. Not only have I've got to go down here and up here and then to the next. Because all I'd seen initially was the white at the top. And I thought, I get to here and then it's just. Most mountain areas are not like that if you've ever been, you know, trekking in there. Any range of mountains. And so what he's saying to them is like, at this moment in time, this is what you're going to get. You're going to get to the top of this hill and you're going to see my glory come again in the temple. But it's like, but it has a triple meaning because then you're going to have a number of years and then the glorious one is actually going to come to earth, who describes himself as the temple of God. I mean, God actually with us, Emmanuel, which is what we celebrate this season. But then we're in this period where, again, it's like, well, how long is this going to be until you come again this time in all your glory? We're still waiting for that final, final promise that in the latter years, his glory will come even more glorious than when he came as a baby and lived on earth. He really is the desire of the nations. And actually what every nation desires is not only to celebrate what we're celebrating this season that Jesus came, but to celebrate and realize he's coming again. Remember, in his kingdom, his final kingdom, it's one of constant joy, peace, justice, love, no gender injustice, as we spoke about earlier. There will be gender justice. There will be hope for absolutely everybody. This is what we're celebrating this season. I really hope if you've got a chocolate advent calendar, and it may or may not have the scene on of the nativity, but as you open each one, you just think, I am preparing myself for the most major event that has ever happened in history. I am preparing my heart, I'm preparing my mind, and I'm thinking about the greatest gift that ever was given. You know, don't be disappointed on Christmas Day if you didn't get the vacuum cleaner you wanted. You know, exactly. You know, with the gift you get, don't be disappointed, because when what we're celebrating on Christmas Day is the greatest gift that's ever been given, has already been given. So surprisingly enough, we've done the context and I've done the content. So you now know the last C, which is contribution, which you all knew. So what? It is incredible to think that today our bodies, our hearts, are God's temple. That's the place that he resides. And that's where his glory is. Just tell the person next to you, remind them that you're glorious. You're glorious. Why? No, again, we're not strong in our strength. We're strong in his strength. We're glorious because we carry the very presence of God in us. Remember, at the very beginning of the year, it was, we need to encourage this glory in us, because as we go from glory to glory, it's for his glory. It's so that other people can see that. And Mary understood that. I'm amazed at Mary's response. You know, in the Vicar of Dibley, they did a great little scene where Mary was told that she was pregnant. It just didn't match the Magnificat. Do you know what I mean? Because her response was like, not, oh, what on earth? It was like, I'm going to bear and give birth to the Son of God. Emmanuel is coming. The Messiah is going to come through me. And my soul, she says, magnifies the Lord. My spirit rejoices in God, my Savior. And what she's basically saying there, because magnifies means to declare greatness, to make great. It's an ongoing verb, actually, in the Greek. In other words, I'm going to keep on magnifying. But it's not that you're trying to make God bigger. Do you know what I mean? You're not magnifying God to try and make him bigger. What she's singing and saying about her life is the way she lives it will ongoingly magnify more and more and more his glory. As she rejoices in worship, and as we sometimes sing part of the Magnificat, she's rejoicing because what's in her is being reflected to the world. The hope, the joy, the justice that she carries, she is sharing with all. We have hope today and for the future because God incarnated in flesh. He became visible to human eyes. What people had waited for from the beginning of time has come. The desire of all nations has come and will come again. This is something I think that's worth celebrating. I'm excited about putting up my Christmas decorations, maybe tonight or tomorrow. I mean, they all consist of nativity scenes and nativity scenes. And so if you want to come to my house, I've got mulled wine. Do you know what I mean? You come and see. But it's just that setting up because I want to celebrate this season. Can we do like Mary? Magnify and rejoice this season so that people are like, what are you so happy about? Why are you rejoicing so much when you haven't got enough money to buy all the Christmas presents you want? Well, because I've got some hope, a hope that isn't for now and for the future. But finally, you may be in a moment where you're discouraged. And this is a message, remember, for those perhaps who've got some discouraging things happening in their life at the moment. And what this passage says is really good to not just push your discouragement down, but it's to face up to it and say, I'm really discouraged about this, Lord. And he says it's okay to feel discouraged. It's okay if you've got some discouragement about some news or stuff going on in your family, or you're discouraged by what's going on in the nation or your village. And he says it's okay. This is what the Lord is saying to us this morning. I know you sometimes feel weak and fearful. So rely on my strength, because I am with you. I will provide what you need. You have my spirit and the gifts I have given you for the common good. Use all I have given you to build wisely, putting into practice all I have taught you. Remember and celebrate who I am and know. And can we believe this for PBBC? Know the best is yet to come. Let's pray. Lord, I pray that that would be a promise we can hold on to with you, that the best is yet to come. Lord, it can be so discouraging looking at the church, and yet the best is yet to come. That's what you promise. Lord, I thank you for the sparks of revival that we're seeing around. And yet, Lord, we ask for more. Lord, I pray that we would be a church that magnifies and rejoices in who you are this season, that we'll be strong in you, knowing who we worship and who we carry inside us. Lord, I pray this morning, if there's any fear, that you would cast it out with your love. And Lord, as we just listen to this next song, Lord, I pray that you would come more powerfully, more mightily, more beautifully, more wonderfully than you've ever come in our lives before. In Jesus' name, amen.